listening to Encouraging Words to Give You Hope. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage you with the words of hope God gives us in His Word. I'm your host, Hope Ann, the author and founder of Meditate Hope. Join me each week as we discuss several different topics, dive into God's Word together, and encourage ourselves in the Lord. So sit back, grab your Bible, and take some notes as we meditate on the encouragement God gives us in His Word. Are you ready? Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to another episode, and happy August, everyone. It's Hope here, your host, and I'm finally back from my ministry break. I took off the whole month of July for a Meditate Hope things, and July was a busy month for me as I focused on other commitments and priorities, but it was also filled with so many fun memories, and God's faithfulness was so present throughout. This fall, though, on the blog and podcast, we will be bringing back an old series that we had last fall called To the Christian. This time, we will tackle many everyday relatable topics we all face as Christians. And today, we'll be kicking it off with To the Christian Who Wants to Love Others Well. We all need more love in the world and less hate and judgment. Would you agree with that statement? Most of us would agree with that. We all want to strive to live at peace with one another, love others, and stop all the hate and wars in the world. But being kind to those around us is sometimes easier said than done. There may be people in your life you can think of right now that are just hard to love. They get on your nerves. You don't get along as well as you'd like to. And while the truth is, people are messy. People will be people. And when we look at ourselves, we are just as hard to love as they are. We are all human and none of us are perfect. Yet God still chose to love us. In fact, Romans 5 verse 8 tells us, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." As Christians, we should desire to love those around us well. When Jesus was here on earth, he set up the perfect example of love for us. And even if it's not the month of February when there's a lot of talk about love, we should constantly strive to love those around us with the love of Christ. This week, we'll be discussing the love of God, the story of the prodigal son, and some practical applications and questions to think about as we strive to love others well. First, in order to love others well, we must have the love of God in us. True love is God's love. In fact, God is love. 1 John 4 verse 16 tells us, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them." So in order to love others with the love of God, we must get an understanding of the love of God. Now, the love of God is not an easy thing to grasp. In fact, most Christians struggle with accepting and understanding the love of God. I've been there too. At times, the love of God can seem just too deep and hard to fathom. But through God's word, we can understand his love for us, his character, and a biblical definition of love. Today, we will dig into a few scripture passages that show us exactly that. The first passage of scripture we'll be looking at is the familiar 1 Corinthians 13. Many of us may think of this chapter as the love chapter and one that is often used in weddings. But in this passage, we find a biblical definition of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8 says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." All these attributes of love, that love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is selfless, and that it rejoices in truth, these are all attributes seen in the character of Jesus. Jesus is so patient with us, even when we fall short. God shows us his loving kindness each day, and Jesus dying on the cross shows us how selfless he was. He chose to die on the cross for our sins instead of the comfort of letting the cup pass. God's love never keeps a record of wrongs, and though we sin, His forgiveness is available. And the last verse of this chapter, verse 13, tells us, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Now you may wonder, why is love the greatest of these three? Well, think about it. Where would we be without God's love? Because of His love for us, we are alive today. He has been so faithful to care for us and to provide for our every need. And because He loved us so much, He sent down His one and only Son to die to pay the price for our sins, the ultimate demonstration of love. John 3, verse 16 through 17 tells us the following, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." For more on our redemption story, you can check out the Ephesians 2 devotional linked in today's show notes. But we'll be moving on to our next passage of scripture, which is Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14. Throughout the Psalms, the psalmists often describe God's love as unfailing. Psalm 103, verse 8 through 14 tells us, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his child, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." Here we see the deep love our Father has for us. He is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, just as 1 Corinthians 13 told us, and always abounding in love. Though God may get angry, this passage tells us that His anger does not last forever. In fact, Psalm 30 verse 5 tells us that His anger lasts only for a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. We do not deserve His love and compassion, and His love is so great for those who fear Him. As high as the heavens are above the earth, this passage tells us. He removes our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. And through it all, He still remembers how we were formed back in the garden, that we are simply dust. Next, we will be taking a quick look at the book of 1 John. We have actually done an entire series on this book of the Bible, and you can check it out by looking at previous episodes from February 2021, or you can check out the whole series linked in today's show notes. I encourage you to read through the book of 1 John and dive deep into it for yourself, because through this book, you can see how John beautifully describes God's love for us and how we should love others as followers of Christ. We won't be going in depth through every chapter, but we will be going through some key verses from each chapter and some of my key takeaways. In 1 John 1 verse 9, we see an amazing promise. God's forgiveness is available though we sin. This verse tells us, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 2 verse 17 gives us a great reminder not to love the things of this world that will pass away. This verse says, "The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." 1 John 3 verse 1 reminds us of what a gift it is to be called children of God. This verse says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." 1 John 3 verse 18 gives us an important takeaway. Love is not a feeling or a bunch of nice words. Love is an action. This verse says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." 1 John 4 verse 8 gives us that crucial point we talked about earlier, that we cannot love others well if the love of God is not in us. This verse tells us, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Then it continues in verses 9 through 10 telling us how God showed His love for us. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In 1 John 4 verse 18, we see how God's love is truly perfect. John writes in this verse, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." In 1 John 4 verse 19 through 21, we see the whole reason behind why we should love others. These verses tell us, "We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." And finally, 1 John chapter 5 verses 2 through 4 tells us how we know that we love the children of God and what the love of God truly is. These verses say, "This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Next up, in Romans chapter 8, verses 8 through 39, we find a beautiful promise from God, that nothing in all creation can separate us from his love. This verse tells us, Paul talking here, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And finally, through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus' love for the ordinary, everyday people. He loved those who are hard to love, those who are different from him, those who others look down upon, and loved all people, even if it went against what society thought was quote-unquote right. For more on Jesus loving those who are hard to love, you can check out the full devotional and podcast episode linked in today's show notes. But one example of Jesus' love and compassion was for the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. We find her story in John 4, verse 1 through 26. We'll be going through this story real quick and summarizing. But in this passage, Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Samaria, and when they got there, Jesus was tired from the journey, so he sat down by a well. It was about noon, and a Samaritan woman came to get water from the well where Jesus was sitting at. Jesus sat down and began to talk to her, telling her in verses 13 through 14, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now remember, Jews and Samaritans did not associate with each other during this time. Even though it was expected in their society that Jesus, being a Jew, would not talk to this woman, he did because he had the passion to share the living water God had for her. Jesus knew that this woman had a past life full of sin that was not pleasing in God's sight. But despite knowing that, Jesus still cared that this woman would know about the living water, the gift of eternal life in heaven, and a relationship with her heavenly Father. Jesus didn't care about what the other Jews would say. He wanted to tell this woman about the good news and God's love for her. When we love others, may we choose to love others just as Jesus loves us. Though it may have been hard, Jesus showed compassion to this Samaritan woman, a group of people that his own people, the Jews, did not associate with. In the times where it can be hard to love those around us, may we remember what great love the Father has for us, and because he first loved us, that is why we love others. Now that we have discussed a few scripture passages to understand God's love for us and why we love others, we will be looking at the parable of the lost son, also known to many of us as the story of the prodigal son. This story is another beautiful picture of God's love for us and our redemption story. And though you may have heard this story before, I encourage you to have an open heart to what God has to reveal to you, a new thing he wants to teach you, or a new perspective you didn't notice before. I know that in the past month, as I studied this story, God showed me a unique perspective on it, so be open to what he has to say to you today. The story of the prodigal son is found in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Jesus is telling this parable to his disciples and starts off in verse 11 saying, "There was a man with two sons. One day, the younger son asked his father to give him his inheritance or his share of the estate. Not long after his father gave him his share, the younger son got together all he had and left to go to a different country. There he spent all his money foolishly and lived the life of pride in doing what he wanted. Then a severe famine hit his country, and that caused him to be in need. So he went out and got himself a job, which was to feed pigs." Now think about this. Have you ever gotten that feeling when you're super hungry that you might literally eat anything? This was the younger son at this moment. He was among the pigs, and what the pigs were eating even looked good to him. At that moment, verse 17 tells us that he came to his senses and thought, "How many of my father's hired hands have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So the son got up and returned home to his father's house. Verses 20 through 24 tell us his father's reaction to him coming home and seeing his lost son. And these verses say, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." But we can't forget about the older son. The older son, who worked faithfully all those years in his father's fields and walked in line with his father's ways and standards. When his younger brother came home, he was working in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he asked one of the servants what was happening. The servant answered him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." Upon hearing this, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. And this is what the older son said to his father in verse 29. "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him." So he basically said here, "Where was this party for me when I have worked for you all these years and obeyed your every order? But now when this wicked, foolish little brother of mine comes back home, you welcome him with a party?" But his father replied to him saying, "My son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Now that we have gone through the story of the prodigal son, we will be diving into some discussion questions and application for today's devotional. There is a lot to practically apply, but there's also much to reflect on from this week's episode. So let's have an open heart to what God has to say to us today. Number one, first, I want us to ask ourselves, is the love of God in us? Because remember, in order to love others, we must have the love of God in us. We need to be filled by the love of God in order to pour out. Receiving the love of God all starts with making him our personal Lord and Savior. If you have not made that decision and want to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior today, check out the entire blog post linked in today's show notes that has the salvation prayer attached that you can pray to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. Number two, we went through many passages this week to get an understanding of God's love for us and what the Bible has to say about the topic of love. So take some time today to thank God for his love, grace, and mercy in your life. Journal about an attribute or characteristic of God you are thankful for and why. For number three, we're going to be going back to the parable of the lost son. So the ending kind of leaves us hanging. We don't actually know if the older son goes in and chooses to celebrate his younger brother, but we get some main takeaways from this story. So first, a parable can be defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and Jesus often told parables to the people he preached to. People found them relatable, but only those who followed Jesus were able to understand the heavenly meaning behind it. In the parable of the lost son, the father represents God, our heavenly father, and the younger son can represent us, sinners who have strayed from God at one point or another, prodigal sons and daughters. And the older son, he can represent those of us who have been believers for a while and who have faithfully served the Lord for years, but sometimes things can get tricky. So let's talk about some other takeaways we can get from the story of the prodigal son. First, we see the depth of God's love for us through this story. Even though the younger son spent many years foolishly spending his inheritance and doing things that were not pleasing in his father's sight, his father still welcomed him home, just as he was, as his son. The younger son thought it would even be lucky if he could just be one of his father's servants, but his father took him in as his own. And while he was still afar off, his father saw him and didn't just wait for his son to come to him, but ran to him, greeted him with love and compassion, threw a whole celebration and gave him the best clothing, the best fattened calf. Why did his father do all this? Because of his love for his son. For our second takeaway, I want you to process this question. Which son do you see yourself more as? Are you the younger son, the prodigal, who has gone astray and chosen your ways over God's and you know you need to return home? Or do you see yourself as the older son, who maybe has been a believer for a while now, has faithfully served the Lord, but when it comes to seeing new people get saved, you can sometimes find it hard to celebrate them? And maybe you're like the older son and you may question why God is making you go through all these challenging circumstances in your life when even non-believers seem to be living their best life and you're at the lowest of lows. If you see yourself more as the younger son, I encourage you to run back home to your Heavenly Father today. It's never too late. God is always there with open arms, ready to welcome us home, and when we do, heaven truly celebrates and throws a party. And if you see yourself more as the older son, the one who has been a believer for a while, and sometimes you find yourself discouraged in your walk with Christ, I encourage you to keep running the race with patience, setting your eyes on Christ, and never lose heart. Ask God to give you a heart that celebrates and loves on others well, just as God is proud of his children and loves on them. And finally, number four, how can you love others this week? This question sounds simple, but as we have seen through this week's podcast episode, there's truly so much more to it. Because think about it. How often do we miss the opportunities to show God's love to those around us because of our pride, selfish ambition, or failure to notice those around us? This week, I encourage you to ask God to give you a heart for those who are hurting and lost, those who need the love of Christ, which is really everyone. Ask God to show you the people in your life that you can encourage, and ask him to place people in your path this week to whom you can be a light to. And it may be scary and frightening at first to put yourself out there and choose daily to love those around you, even those who are hard to love. But may we remember just how much Jesus loves us, and he wants us to share that love with those around us. Amid the times where you may struggle to love those around you, remember the purpose behind why we love, because he first loved us. And that's the end of this week's episode, kicking off our series to the Christian. I pray that this week's episode blessed you and encouraged you in your walk with Christ. If you want some additional resources related to this week's devotional, check out the blog post link in today's show notes that has additional resources such as books and Bible studies to dive deeper into the topic of God's love for us and how we can love others. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening so that you don't miss out on any future episodes. And when you leave a rating and review, it helps the podcast grow and help more people hear the good news. And with that, have a blessed week and talk to you soon.